This is iRadio's group chat. If you're talking about it,
we're talking about it
on iRadio.
Dara Patton from Mayo has been using social media to openly share his journey through addiction and recovery. After struggling with alcohol and substance use, he made the decision to get sober and has been documenting the ups and the downs of that process online. Through honesty about the challenges he's faced, Dara has built a really supportive community and is showing how recovery is possible. A huge part of that journey for him has been fitness, which he now uses as a positive outlet and a way to stay focused on his sobriety. Dara joins me now in iRadio's group chat to chat about the first steps in getting help, the challenges of staying sober, and also the reality of admitting to yourself that you may have a problem. Dara, thank you for joining me this evening on the show sincerely and opening up about this experience that you've had. I'm sure so many people will be able to resonate in one way or another. And for people who might not know your story yet, can you tell me a little bit about yourself and the journey that has now led you to sobriety?
I suppose I'll introduce myself any other way I would. I'm Dara, I'm an alcoholic. And I suppose I'll just start from the start. I was introduced to alcohol and drugs and all that crack early on. Like I was young when I took my first drink, you know. And the moment that I had a drink of alcohol, like I just loved the feeling that it gave me, you know, and the scheming behind it and, you know, the chaos that it brought as well. Like I was just it really gripped me straight away, and it progressed slowly at the start, I suppose, and then very quickly out of nowhere, you know, the same a lot of way alcoholics would. Like, it just started off with sociable few or whatever, and it leaded in then to taking over my weekends all the time, like, and I started dropping the things that I used to love to do, like playing sport and all that. And, you know, I was handy enough at the sport as well when I was younger, like, but all of that went away, you know, when the partying started taking over more and more and more. And I just couldn't see a way out of it, to be honest. And it's not like I wanted to be drinking every weekend, but it was so like, I thought that's who I was. I thought that's how people perceived me. And I thought that was my only like asset to give to people. And it was always like, if I stopped drinking, you know, people wouldn't like me anymore. This is how it would be in my head, you know. And so like the first opportunity I had to go away from home, as soon as I finished school, like I went working in Dublin, like, and I was up there with a mate from school, and we were up there working whatever, and that was all good. But I was just making more money then, and was able to, you know, I had the money then to be spending, you know, to be spending on drink and drugs and all that. And that's when like, you know, I started progressing more into the cocaine side of things. And I was always a big smoker as well, like whenever COVID happened, you know. But I was up in Dublin for about 2 or 3 months, and then I got an offer to start an apprenticeship over in Sweden. So I went over there and I was there for a year or two. And the way it was sort of going for me anyway was, you know, my freedom was being taken away. I never really had a chance to do the things that I wanted to do, even when I was in Sweden. Like, you know, it's funny, like, you know, whenever anyone asks, you know, when I was in Sweden, the first thing is like, were you ever skiing or anything? And I was like, no, but I'd always booked it, but just ended up never going. But like past that, then my sister passed away. So she did. And I had came home. But like the first thing that I done, you know, when I'd heard about my sister, was I'd picked up the smoke, picked up the drink, and just went flat on it for, you know, a few months on end, like every day, you know. And I couldn't really see a way out of it at all. Like, and it wasn't like a spur of the moment thing where it was like, okay, I'm going to go sober today. It was a long time coming for me. It was a long time coming. I always knew like I didn't want to waste my life away doing this crack, but I didn't know how to stop. I couldn't see how I could stop. And it was just like, it was taking such a toll on me and, you know, my family and all my friends, and nobody wanted to be around me in the end. And like my family were worried sick about me, because like me and poor mother as well, she wouldn't sleep when I was out, you know. She'd be afraid that I I'd get up to something wrong, or, you know, I wouldn't come home at all, like, you know. And I put my family through a lot of hardship down to my using, and I was afraid to go to work. I was working in Limerick at the time, and I was afraid to go to work, and there was this like different floors, and I was afraid to go too close to the barriers, like on the second floor, in case I jumped over, like, you know. That was what was going through my head. I was getting nauseous going over there to collect like materials to do a job, you know. That's how low I had gotten, but I was afraid for my own life. And so I had wrecked my car then at home, so I had drink driving, and I had decided a few weeks after that I need to come home, like, because I just can't continue on what I was doing, you know. So I came home anyway, and I went up and I said to this fella, I said, you know, I can't do this anymore. I need to get help. And you know, he had introduced me to recovery then. And, you know, from there, like, that's when my life really took off. Like, I didn't get it on the first go either. I had a few relapses and all that, but it was all progression towards the life that I wanted to have. Like, so I had to go really, really low before I had to ask for help and that I realized that I had a problem. Everyone else around me realized that I had a problem before I did, because I was so, like, eluded. Like, my head was so gone. I just couldn't see that this wasn't normal, what was going on. My behavior wasn't normal, and, you know, I'd gotten arrested over drinking, and no matter how low I got, it was just the flick of a switch one weekend where it's like, I can't do this anymore. And that's how low I had to go, like, to ask for help. And I just don't, like, the reason that I make them videos as well is because I don't want anyone else to go as low as I have went, like, you know, to actually realize that they might have a problem, or that they, you know, that they want help but they don't know where to go. And, you know, this might be going through their head all the time as well, because it was in mine for years on end, like, and I just couldn't see a way out of it.
Your story is so moving, and of course, condolences on the passing of your sister. I'm so sorry to hear that, and I can only imagine how that would have definitely inflamed the situation even worse for you. Mm. And it is, it being an illness, it's one that people tend to overlook. You know, that people don't seem to understand that this is not something that people would do out of choice. It is an illness, and the fact that you have gotten yourself on a road now that you are happy to be on and living the life you deserve is just remarkable to see. And that is down to a lot of your hard work as well, and I'm sure the support of your family and your friends and the people that are very, very much in your corner for you. To go back to those days when you were, you know, beginning your sobriety journey, and this was where you were going, but what type of challenges did you face, particularly in the beginning?
There's challenges every day of our lives, like, we don't even realize it, and lessons to be learned in everything that we do. But I suppose, like, for the first while when I went into recovery, I was still addicted to the chaos that it had brought, you know, when I was in use. And I found it very hard to actually be happy with the peace. Like, you know, I wasn't used to the peace that I had when I first went into recovery. So, like, for me, for a good few months, you know, I think the first time I went sober lasted about 6 months. And, you know, I had one foot in the door of recovery and one foot out, because I was still going to the pub 3 or 4 nights a week. Like, this is my head, the mentality of it. Like, and I couldn't actually get away from that. And I couldn't realize that it wasn't doing me any good. I thought I had it figured out after I gotten, you know, that bit sober, like, and I thought, okay, so I can still do all the things that I was doing, but all I have to do is not use and I'm fine. But that was not the case, like, because my mental health as well, like, it got lower and lower after time, and, you know, problems coming up, and I didn't have the tools to actually deal with them again, because I'd one foot in, one foot out. I wasn't doing what I had to do to keep myself sober, like, and it was inevitable that I was going to use again. So, like, I'm glad that I did relapse in the way that now I've learned the lesson, what I have to do and what I have to stay on top of. And, like, I just don't want anyone else to make the same mistakes I did, like, you know. But
was that part of the reason why you decided to share this so publicly, this story? Because, I mean, it's such a personal thing that you've gone through yourself, and I imagine putting that out on social media for everybody to consume, albeit to help them but also to see, must have been a massive challenge.
Yeah, well, I suppose when I started that Instagram page, I'd started it for, like, the fitness side of things and how much that had helped me as well. But I knew, like, that there was more of a calling for me. You know, I knew that there was more for me to give than what I was given. And I just took a notion one day and I said, I bet someone can really benefit off me just sharing a bit about myself. Like, and, you know, I put up my first video and I think I was 5 months sober again, but I was really, really in the recovery mode and surrounding myself with the right people. And I knew, like, I could put something up that it'd actually benefit someone that's nearly in the same stage or that's struggling. And hopefully it might call someone that, you know, it might flick a switch in their brain where they're like, okay, I want to do better now, you know. And it's about attraction rather than promotion, in the way, like, if someone sees me doing well and where I've came from, that they might be like, okay, if he done it, I can do it. Like,
obviously, you being a young person and heading up to Dublin for this apprenticeship, I believe you said, but between that lifestyle, working as an apprentice or even when you're in college, obviously there's a huge drinking culture around that. What would your thoughts be on how prominent that is for young people?
Well, I suppose even, like, from fifth or from TY, fifth year leaving cert, like, especially in small towns where I'm from anyway, you know, it's a big drinking culture anyway. And we always use the excuses of, you know, there's not much else to be doing, or, you know, everyone else is at it, that sort of way. But not everyone else is at it. You know, there might, like, for myself anyway, I know that there might be some people at it every weekend like myself or whatever, but I always found myself there every weekend, where some people would leave it every few weeks, or they'd have a few and they'd be able to go home. And but I wasn't. I was straight in. You know, I'd had one or two, and I convinced myself that I was going out for one or two, but I wasn't. I was out for one or two days or however long I could go out before I was dragged home. And the drinking culture as well, I suppose, around like college and, you know, the just young people coming up in Ireland as well. It's 100%. If you're able to go out and enjoy a few drinks, then go out and enjoy a few drinks and call it at that or whatever. But if you're someone like me that's going out and you're convincing yourself that you're going out for a few drinks, but you know already what's going to happen down the line, you know, that's when you have to really have a look at yourself. Like, but and it wasn't, no one else influenced me to use the way I used, you know. It's either in you or it's not. Like, you know, that's the way it is. It's an illness, as you mentioned, you know, it's addiction, it's a disease.
Talk me through fitness. I know that you've used that as a massive tool to help sustain your recovery and help keep you going. How powerful has it been in your life?
Well, absolutely huge. Like, I always had interest in the fitness side of things and my sport, especially. Like, I'd be a competitive person from nature, you know, just from soccer, Gaelic, rugby, whatever I'd done. Like, but the way that I sort of zoned into the fitness when I was going sober was I used it as a tool even then. Like, whenever I was feeling down, I'd go and I'd get a good session in the gym. I mean, no, but I'd go and get a good session, and how good it was for my head was just, I couldn't believe, like, when I was eating healthy and when I was working out and when I was feeling good about myself, that perceived, like, you know, that it made me feel good about myself. That's the bottom line of it. And the way it is, like, so many people are as well, this separate area as well, I suppose, from addiction, but they do tie in a lot as well. So many people are unhappy about the way they look or how they eat. And, you know, I try and get it across to people so much, like, you can still eat all the lovely things that you want to be eating, you know, but if you can sort of just vary them in slight ways, or even go out for a 20-minute walk in the evening, it's so simple. It releases the same endorphins in your brain as, you know, this dopamine effect that drink and drugs gives you as well. But the thing is that this actually has benefits from it, and it'll give you a long-lasting benefit from it. It'll either make you look better or feel better, and, you know, it ties in, you know.
It's all part of the same all Venn diagram, you know. They're all going in together, they're all helping you out at the end of the day. And if there's someone that's listening to you this evening who might be feeling that they're struggling in some capacity, feeling like you were before that switch, as you described, flipped for you, what advice would you give to them, and what would you say to them?
Well, for me anyway, reach out, because as soon as I let my ego drop and as soon as I left, you know, that weaker side out of me, I'm putting up quotation marks if you can't say it here as well, weaker side, that's where the real, you know, bravery comes to play. That's when you're able to speak out to someone else, when you're able to put the power in your words to someone else, that's when it'll, you know, you're speaking your problems out loud. You're speaking your problems out loud for someone else to hear and for feedback from them. And we'll all have ourselves convinced in our own head what's right or wrong before we speak to anyone. But, you know, when you say it out loud, you're putting it into the universe there, and let someone else decide what's right or wrong for you, you know. It's just literally about speaking out, you know. Really do, like, ask for help if you think you need it, or even if you're having a bad day, talk about it, because so many people out there literally just hide behind their emotions because they don't want to be perceived as a person with problems. But it's not about having problems, it's about being able to like yourself, to love yourself, and to love other human beings around. Like, it's all about sharing compassion and love and all that. Like,
there are people that are going to hear you for the first time in this interview and want to follow along with your journey. Where can we find you on social media?
Yeah, Dara Pedden on social media, or you'll find me in the Complex Gym Monday to Friday in Balmullet.
Well, Dara, it's been an absolute privilege chatting to you genuinely about your journey, and you speak with such empowering words, particularly there at the end, for people that I imagine would be going through something similar in any capacity. So thank you so much for sharing your journey with us on the show, and we'll definitely be chatting to you again about something else, no doubt.
Thanks very much.
This is iRadio's Group Chat. If you're talking about it,
we're talking about it
on iRadio.